I'd like you to know that Ephesians is written to a people more or less out of time, a people who are seen nowhere else in the world or in the Word, with the exception of all who will find themselves living in the eternity. And I'd like to read something out of Ephesians chapter 6 and preface it with, there's nothing new under the sun, which comes from Ecclesiastes. So whatever you experience today has already been, and it probably will happen again, given time. But there's nothing new under the sun. And the Bible also tells us that whatever you experience, your brethren in the world also experience. So you're never alone. Ever. Ever, ever, ever alone. Well, in Ephesians chapter 6, we learn that this special group of people, especially minded and enlightened group of people, are told in verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We learn that they're in a wrestling match, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against powers. See, the people who don't do this get pinned in this wrestling match. The non-Ephesians-minded people, believers, and people of the world, are all like flattened on these mats out there. They're just flattened. They're pinned. But some people are not. Some of the brethren are not. Some of the brethren of verse 10 are not. Some of the brethren who have put on the whole armor of God stand against the wiles of the devil in verse 11. And then verse 12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of this darkness, against spiritual wickedness from on high. And we know that we're to be forever truth-minded. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. You really need to know what's going on. Okay. Well, let's go to Genesis chapter 9. So no matter what you're dealing with in life, you can face it head on. Everything that these rulers of darkness do is designed to introduce fear into your mind, into your loins, so to speak. I mean, wouldn't it be great if your loins were just massive muscles and carried you everywhere? Well, interestingly enough, loins is the figure for your mind. So maybe we could say, wouldn't it be great that your thoughts were so pure, so powerfully minded that you could go anywhere? That's what we want. Okay? So we're supposed to have a mind like that when we step out on the mat. Now, I'm sure that you have faced a day of evil. And when you have to face a day of evil, be it one or many, you need to have truth in your mind. And you need to win. What you don't want is to be pinned to that mat by the spiritual force that's trying to wrestle you down to that mat. You just don't want that. So you want to take a stand. You want to be stand-minded. You know, it usually helps, tongue-in-cheek, it always helps, to have your goal in mind. And then you know why you're doing whatever it is you're doing. If you, like I asked Dave today if he could replace an electrical outlet. Well, if he came to my house and didn't have a goal, he'd just stand there and like, what am I here for? You know, you have to have instruction and purpose. And you always walk according to that. Our ultimate purpose is to reach the eternity, which is what the fallen angels gave up. And now they want back in, but they can't get back in. God will never allow it. And we're going to reach the eternity. And in the meantime, we're supposed to be preaching the gospel of Christ. Now, interestingly, when you preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you shine. You cause a shining with that preaching. Well, so we know that there are goals associated with proper action, and the goals help get you through whatever it is you face. In Genesis chapter 1, we see where God designed for mankind, I believe it's for mankind, a true fear response. And he did it between himself and Noah. Verse 1, and God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. This has to do with all of earth happening again. And the fear of you and dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth. And upon all the fishes of the sea, into your hand are they delivered. Now there is the standard. You're not supposed to live under dread of everything out there or things coming at you. You're supposed to be free. You're the one that is supposed to bring fear and dread upon the earth, not the earth upon you. That's the way God made it. And that was established. That's like the beginning of it. That's the first time you ever see the word fear in the Bible. That's a big deal. Hey, that's your standard. So when you're afraid, what do? Well, you need to face your fear. We've heard the acronyms. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And I'm sure you might even have a different one than that. But fear is like a thinking mechanism. It's in your brain. It's between your ears. It has a 6-inch wrestling mat. Okay? That's it. 6 inches between your ears. That's the size of your wrestling mat. And you need to face your fear. That's what you deal with when you have fear. You face it. And that means you look at it and you let it be there for a minute and you, what are you? You understand. You begin to understand what that fear is. You don't just turn your head and run away and cry. You have to face it. You isolate it and you face it. You realize that it's fear and you take a good hard look at it and then you pin it. Pin it. And you have the right to do that because of verse 2. And the fear of you and dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. It doesn't say, and the fear of them and the dread of them shall be upon you. So you gotta get that right. Well, fear is terror, and it causes trembling and dread. If you have trembling and dread in you, you need to isolate the fear. You need to take a good hard look at it and stand up to it. I mentioned in a previous teaching / setting that you got to give yourself options. You can't be so rigid in your thinking that you just, it's either fight or flight. Okay? And this has to do with OCD behavior. And you probably remember me talking about that. It's a really big deal. If you're so black and white, and your mind is like girders of iron, you've got like a girder of black and a girder of white, and there's no bending, no flexing, no anything, and either it's one way or the highway, or the other way or the highway, but nothing in between, you're inflexible. And you need to nurture in an option of flexibility, at least enough to look at the fear and to not run or to not come at it with an atomic bomb. I mean, a man convinced against his will be of the same opinion still. If you don't take the time to at least see the opponent coming at you, you don't even know what you're up against. I mean, common sense says, take a look, man. Common sense says, open up your eyes and look. Common sense says, open up your ears and listen. Common sense says, if it comes at you, don't be afraid to grab it. Because in a wrestling match, man, that is some seriously close contact. Okay? I know. I've been there. I told you how. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. Oh, is that the one? Hold on. Oh, which one? Well, I'm rearranging everything here. Oh, yeah. I guess Isaiah. Yeah, Isaiah chapter 6. You know how the world broadcasts all their CRAP over and over and over again? And if you love watching the news and you turn it on like for the umpteenth time and they're saying the same thing again and again and again, and you wanted something new because you want your ears to be scratched. So my point is, you know how the world repeats their messages over and over and over again. Well, God repeats His messages over and over again too. There's some power in repetition. Well, in Isaiah chapter 6, this is the beginning of a particular message that's repeated like throughout the Word. It's crazy how many times it comes up. But it gives you an understanding of blindness. It gives you an understanding of why it's so tough for you, maybe, to not be penned. There are characteristics of people who are penned every day, all day long. They've got fat hearts. They've got heavy ears and closed or shut eyes. And so if you could draw a picture of this demon on top of a person pinned on a wrestling mat, that human sufferer would have a fat heart, heavy ears, big old saggy heavy ears, maybe like an elephant, and his or her eyes would be closed. And they don't even know what happened to him. They're just this blob. Maybe you could see little arms sticking out, little legs, but that's all they are. And there's this demon on him demanding that the referee, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I win! And the guy just lays there pinned. He's just pissed off, but he can't even get up. You know, he's trying to roll to his little legs and little feet. But that's what blinded people are like. Isaiah 6, verse 8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isaiah 6, 8. Then said I, here am I, send me. I want to go on that mat. Verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people. This is what the blind people have to hear. Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. That was the message of the ages. Not only of that age, but also of this age. Verse 10, make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. So that was the command to mankind that reached throughout the entire populace of mankind. That was the command. Fat hearts, heavy ears, and shut eyes. Wow. And that happened in part because people rejected God. There's always a consequence. So, we are not supposed to be under terror or dread. And if you feel any terror or dread, don't become so fat, so heavy, and so closed that you can do nothing but wobble around on the wrestling mat. Face it. Face the fear. Don't be afraid to face the fear. And if you can't face the fear, understand that you're too black and white. You're not giving yourself any options. You're not going to die. You're not sinning because you're giving yourself a little squirming room to at least look at the opponent coming at you, to at least recognize what it is and realize that you're facing something that's not you. The battlefield is in the mind. Your wrestling mat is 6 inches by 6 inches. That's it. That's your battlefield. That's where this stuff takes place. Give yourself some squirming room so that you can see what it is or see your opponent. I mean, at least give yourself that. And if it scares you so much that you think you're going to die, okay, fine. Then Ephesians is not for you. Just walk away from it. I mean, quit playing the game. But I think you're stronger than that. I think that each one of us can face our fears. and be delivered from them. Why else would you even want to look at it? So that you could stand. So that you could be delivered. So that it would no longer be a terror or a dread and cause you to tremble or to have dread in your own life. Wow, okay. Deuteronomy chapter 4. You realize this is a subject that I could talk about like all day, but I really can't. I'm not going to. I want to. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 34. Or hath God essayed to go and take him a nation from the midst of another nation? That word another is not in the text. Or hath God essayed, verse 34, to go and take him a nation from the midst of a nation? It's like from the midst of nation. Or hath God essayed to go take him a nation from the midst of nation? By temptation, is this what he uses? By signs, by wonders, by war, and by a mighty hand, and by a stretched out arm, and by great terrors, fears. You know, that's a wonderful figure of speech when you see many ands. It's like, man, pay attention to this. According to all that the Lord your God did for you in Egypt before your eyes. Wow. God is in control. And he does use fears. He does use terror. He makes people who fight against you so afraid they can't find their hands. Did you know that? They can't find their hands. You know, oh, there's so much. Okay, Deuteronomy chapter 11. I want you to be the one that causes fear in people and in life. I don't want life and people to cause fear in you. Now, you might think, wow, are you sure about that? Do you want me to cause fear in others and in life? Well, you decide. It's either that or they cause fear in you. You decide. This is where you got to have some squirming room. There's a lot said in the Bible, and there's a lot unsaid. You got to have some common sense. Deuteronomy 11, verse 24. Every place whereon the soles of your feet tread shall be yours, but not you. You're a Christian, not you. This was the Old Testament. Not you. From the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, boy, if that doesn't start to speak loudly about the end times and all that's going to come out of that and the armies of that are going to come over it and that it's going to be dried up and oh my gosh, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you. Ah, not you, though. Yeah, that's Old Testament. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread, and that's that same word fear that we've been seeing, of you upon all the land that you shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Well, if God would do this for his Old Testament family, would he not at least maybe think about doing it for you? Listen. You've got God in Christ in you. You are the temple of the living God. And when you walk in this world, you take that temple everywhere. They think that all these buildings that they've been excavating and finding are so magnificent. There is nothing as magnificent save the very throne of God itself and its surrounding house than you, because you are the temple. Your body is that tabernacle. It houses everything of God in Christ in you. God has made himself one with you. Okay, so you can say it's Old Testament, whatever. Just do your thing. If Ephesians is not for you, close the book and walk away. But I want you to be Ephesians-minded. I want you to be enlightened, that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints is, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to you who believe. I want you to realize that this is like peeling an onion. I mean, you've been pulled out of the courses of the world. Thank God for that. In other words, Ephesians says that you are seated in the heavenlies. Your citizenship changed. But what about your mind? And so we're enlightening ourselves with more and more of who we really are and what life really ought to be like. And it ought to be like, there shall no man be able to stand before you, verse 25 of Deuteronomy 11. We just were reading it. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you. Mm-hmm. Fear of you. Of you. Man, when you step on that mat, your opponent quakes. When you step on that mat, your opponent trembles. That's what's supposed to happen. You're never supposed to get pinned. You might fall sometimes, but I don't think that's getting pinned. I think getting pinned is more like you don't have the truth of the situation in your brain, and you don't even see what's coming. It's like getting hit by a train. Whoa. And then you turn into this miserable blob. Pinning is different, you know? I mean, like, put on the whole armor of God, stand against the wiles of the devil, you know, to know what the principalities and powers of darkness are. That's at the end of Ephesians. That's like the climax of the story, and it's what makes it so great. If you had a love story, but there was no love, why would you read it? If you have a power story, and there was no manifestation of power, why would you read it? The manifestation of power happens on that mat. The eyes of your understanding happen so that you can get on that mat. You're seated in the heavenlies happens so that you can get on that mat. You're being lovely and acceptable in his sight happens so that you can get on that mat, because you're going to get into a wrestling match whether you like it or not. So verse 25 says, there shall no man be able to stand before you. Where? On that mat, that's your lifestyle. You know, that's Old Testament, right? But New Testament is Ephesians. For us, that's our goal. I mean, if I asked David Ray to come over to my house to fix a broken electrical thing, and I didn't really tell him. I says, in my head, I said, I got a broken electrical thing, and somehow I transmuted into David's mind to show up. So there he's showing up. Why am I here? I don't know. You're here, right? Yeah. Anyway. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay... You know, in essence, if you get on that wrestling mat, that opponent can't even come at you. They can't stand before you. For the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he has said to you. Deuteronomy 26. Deuteronomy 26, verse 6. And the Egyptians evil entreated us and inflicted us and lay upon us hard bondage. I guess we're led to believe that they made the Israelites build the pyramids or something. How stupid. We're not told what this evil entreating actually is. We're told bits and pieces of it. The affliction really was, and the hard bondage. How could they have subdued such an enormous amount of people? There's just all kinds of unanswered questions. But it was horrid. You know, even in today's conflicts, we have not had hard bondage laid upon us, which bespeaks God's power. And I thank God for that. And when we cried unto the Lord God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression, of which was much, and the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terribleness, and that's that word fear that we've been looking at, and with signs and with wonders. We have no reason to not expect that in our lives. Just no reason. I mean, God lives in us. God in Christ lives within us. And he hath brought us into this place and hath given us this land. And it was a land that was completely separated from the evil entreatment, from the afflictions, and from the hard bondage. And God can do that for his people. And he will do that. Because his word teaches us what he did. Even a land that floweth with milk and honey. And Deuteronomy 34. God gives his people great abilities to ward off evil. You got to understand that it wasn't just God, you know, flicking his wrist and snapping his fingers from his throne. That's not how this took place. That's not how the deliverance took place. And if you remember what we read in Genesis 9, where God established a true fear response, and the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, and everything else into your hand are they delivered. If you remember that, then what I'm going to read to you now will show you your role and what's available to you today. I don't ever want you to be filled with dread or trembling. And I want you to, if you ever even have to step out on that mat, I mean, I've taught you that if Satan's attacking you, that you pray that God rebukes Satan. You know, I would think that you're not going to have to end up on that mat too much, but you might if that evil day shows up in your life. You might. And just because the news is broadcasting this or that out there doesn't mean that the evil day has shown up in your life. That's a whole lot different than something knocking at your door and trying to evil afflict you, evil entreat you, and put you into hard bondage. That's a whole lot different. Okay? You got to keep things in perspective. And the way you do that is don't be afraid to isolate the fear that you're dealing with and face it. Give yourself a little flexibility to do that. Deuteronomy 34, verse 10. And there arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses. So we're talking about Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh, and to all his servants, and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand. And these are the things that Moses did. Moses did them. Moses did these things. And in all the great terror, and that's that word fear, which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Moses did them. So he was living according to the Genesis 9:2 standard. That was the fear response code of conduct. So I guess I could stop there. There's plenty more that I could share on, you know, thoughts, how to coordinate your thoughts so that you're not afraid. I don't want you to be afraid, but I think that lays enough of a foundation, you know, to help you deal with some of this stuff. Yeah. That's probably enough for now.